Registered charities here aiding people from Ukraine are being reminded that they have a serious duty of care and that all required safety and safeguarding procedures must be in place. The charities regulator has asked charities to ensure that they have the necessary resources and capacities so that funds achieve their intended purpose. The child and family agency TUSLA has echoed the call. CEO Bernard Gloucester said that where children are involved, charities should not make arrangements until they have spoken to the agency to ensure basic safeguarding standards are adhered to.
If a charity is assisting somebody, either individually or in large groups, to come to Ireland to seek protection, there is no difficulty. Ireland is doing its best to support people. However, those charities should consult the state authorities first, including the border authorities, but where children are involved, they certainly should be talking to the Child and Family Agency and shouldn't make arrangements until they have done that. And that's just to ensure that the basic safeguarding standards are adhered to. It's not to prevent people from assisting others, but there are very important considerations.
Bernard Gloucester of the Child and Family Agency TUSLA. We can talk now to the Chief Executive of the Charities Regulator, Helen Martin. A very good afternoon to you, Helen Martin, and thanks for taking our call this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brian.
Now, we're all familiar with the efforts right up and down the country to raise money, raise funds to support people who've come here from Ukraine to escape the fighting or who are at home struggling, we know, in very difficult circumstances. But what are you saying today to those who are raising funds, who are trying to do what they can to help?
Well, look, what we would say is that we're conscious, you know, as Bernard actually alluded to there, of the fact that, you know, Irish people across the country were trying to assist people in the Ukraine, and understandably, we absolutely want to help. But what we're saying to the public in particular is to say, look, whether you're donating money or your time as a volunteer, what we're urging them to do is check first that they're donating to a registered charity or that they're volunteering with a registered charity. And the reason why we would say this is that it's really important that they give their time and their donations to charities with a track record of providing the kinds of supports and assistance that people from the Ukraine are going to need at this time. Mm-hmm. And look, we have a register of charities there, and it's there for people to check. But in addition to that, we'd also say to people, look, you know, get in touch with established charities. It's a much more effective and it's a quicker way of assisting people at a time of crisis than trying to set up your own charity from scratch. That takes time and it can takes considerable effort. And there's a lot of things that people need to do when they're setting up a charity that they're not going to be able to do overnight.
And for established charities, you're reminding them that they have certain stated terms and objectives and that they can't just pivot away from that to even with good intentions to try and provide support in relation to the situation in Ukraine.
No, that's absolutely essential, Brian, because at the end of the day, if you're set up to do one thing, for example, maybe to help people with disabilities, that's what the public are donating their money to you for. They expect it to be spent in that way. That's your charitable purpose, and that's what you've invited the money for, and that's what you've got the donations. As trustees, the people who are in charge of charities, you're entrusted with that, with those donations. And it's really important that you don't simply go out and do something entirely different. Every charity is set up to achieve a particular purpose, and it's not open to those charities to change overnight what they use the charity assets for. There is a process in place there if a charity wants to do that. But it's not even just about, you know, changing tack and giving your funds over to something that you didn't collect the funds for. It's actually about the kind of safety and procedures and risk processes that are about around that. From a governance perspective, we have a charity's governance code in the sector and all charities are required to comply with that. And there's a reason for that. It's to make sure that if you're making these changes that you're actually set up and properly able to do that and that you can do it in a safe way and in a way that actually protects not just your staff and volunteers, but also the people that you're trying to assist.
And is this prompted by evidence that you've seen of charities trying to address the Ukrainian situation and perhaps raising some of the issues which you've been talking about?
Yeah, we haven't received any specific concerns, you know, from the public. That's how people can raise concerns with us. They get in touch. But we are observing, our own team is observing what we're seeing out there. And not even, you know, in the last crisis as well, in terms of the ongoing crisis with regard to COVID, we did see these kind of things happen where people were so keen to get involved, so keen to help out, that they kind of forgot that as charities they had specific duties and that there were procedures to be followed. And those procedures are there to safeguard the public, but also everybody who's using the services of charities. So that's something that we just want to remind charities about. You know, you were set up particular purpose. It's right. all set out in your governing document. Please make sure you check it and that you're adhering to your governing document in the first place.
Helen Martin, Chief Executive of the Charities Regulator, thank you very much for that.